Hi, everybody. Happy month of April to all of you. This is Steve Kenyon, and this is the Steve Kenyon Podcast. We're highlighting the latest in the world of professional rodeo, Western sports, and more. Thank you for joining us. Thank you to our sponsors and partners, including Wrangler, Long Live Cowboys, the Justin Boot Company, the Standard of the West since 1879, the Resist All Hat Company. We wear it every day. Aquinity Products, because it's all about the horse. To Prefert, number one in ranch and rodeo. To Unbeatable Feeds, we'll talk a lot about Unbeatable Feeds in this show, because a couple of unbeatable athletes just had a great performance. The Bob Feist Invitational Team Roping, M2 Ranch Jerky, True Traditional Cowboy Jerky, our Classic Equine Classic Ropes featured interview this week. We will highlight the rodeo in San Angelo, Texas. It's about to get underway. The San Angelo Stock Show and Rodeo has already started with a bunch of timed event slack over the last few days. The first full performance is Friday. Josh Hambone Hilton, the rodeo manager, will join us coming up. And, of course, a big thank you to the Gooding Pro Rodeo in Gooding, Idaho. What are you doing August 14th through 17th? Come join us and be beer worthy. GoodingProRodeo.com. Let's talk about the lead story today. I mentioned the BFI. The 47th Bob Feist Invitational Team Roping took place on Saturday. And the champions, for the first time in their Hall of Fame careers, Caleb Driggers and Junior Negata. They roped six steers faster than anybody else, split $162,000 in the process. I talked to Caleb Driggers about his first win at the BFI. Here's Caleb. Welcome. Thanks for your time. Congratulations on getting that first win at the BFI over the weekend.
Yes, sir. Thank you. I appreciate that.
You and I were giggling a little bit before we started this interview. Junior's been there 10 times. You've been there 16. It had been a minute. How's it feel to finally break through and win that thing?
You know, it was definitely an emotional win for us. It's been something that we both wanted for a long time, and things hadn't really fell our way, and we was fortunate enough this time that it did.
There are a lot of big ropings. There are a lot of rodeos. There are a lot of events. Somehow or another, the BFI has always maintained a level of prestige, I think, in the team roping world. Saying you're a BFI champion is a big deal. And you guys have won a lot of stuff, but saying you're a big BFI champion is a big deal.
Yes, sir. That's what, you know, even since we was younger, just we would watch the BFI tapes and all our heroes and idols were roping there and winning it. And, you know, it's probably the longest lasting roping that's still standing today. And it's a grueling test just because of the, you know, the score, and it happens over about 11 hours, so you have to wait in between a long time before you run another one, and just trying to stay focused and not make a mistake is the hardest part, probably.
Yeah, so tell me about that. You get through the first five rounds. You are the third high callback, is that right? Coming into the final round, and you end up winning it, I think, 44-6 on, or 44-7, I forget the time, on six head. Tell me about that last run.
Yes, sir. We was one of the first few there in the fifth round. I think we might have been like eighth or ninth out in that fifth round. So we had to wait through the whole fifth round for the short round, and it was probably, like I said, probably an hour and a half or so. So just trying to maintain, stay focused, and because kind of like at the normal ropings that we go to, we'd run 30, 45 minutes is about as long as you go before you run another steer. So you kind of build some rhythm. Well, with the BFI being so many teams and only entering one time, you have a lot of downtime in between. So trying to stay mentally focused, and then also trying to keep your horse ready the whole time, that's the testament.
44.76 on six head was the time. It's interesting, Caleb. There are a couple of years that I went down when it was still in Reno and did an entire radio broadcast, all five go rounds. And I mean, that's a long day if you're a team roper, if you're not a team roper. But when you get to that short round, it's like everything kicks up another notch or two.
Yeah, you know, it just kind of, you know, the hair on the back of your neck kind of stands up. Just the crowd really gets into it, and the announcers get into it, and you know, it's kind of what we worked on all day. And then, like you're saying, it just, it's a special moment. And we was lucky to come out on top this year. We had a good steer on our last one. And I think we had to be like 8-8 to take the lead. And that wouldn't put very much pressure on the guys behind us. So But we couldn't make a mistake and, you know, lose what we'd worked on all day too. So we just tried to make a smart run, but to try and press and be as fast as we could on the last one.
Yeah. So let me ask you about, this has been an interesting year for you and Junior. Junior had to have surgery on his eye after the National Finals rodeo was over last December. And so you guys have not started this year roping together. Talk about that, and does it take a little bit to get back in that rhythm, or you know, I mean, you guys have been such a pair of machines roping together for so long. Did that have any impact on you when Junior got back and started roping again?
Yes, sir. He had to, it was on his nose. He was 100% blocked on his left side, and they had to go in and do some constructive surgery, and it was putting pressure on his eye, so it was affecting that as well. So yeah, but we've roped together so much that we kind of know what each other's got going or whatever, but there's definitely some rhythm to it once you get to making runs together. That definitely helps in situations like that. And like you said, he was out for probably a month and a half there at the beginning of the season, and I roped with some other people, and it just kind of wasn't the same not roping with him, just because, you know, we've grown to be like brothers, and when somebody you love's going through stuff, then it just kind of puts a little damper on what you got going as well.
Yeah. So let me ask you about horses, and you and Junior are both part of the program of Equinity, and you're awfully proud to be representative of Unbeatable Feeds, and they're part of my roster of sponsors as well. But I know those people have got to be awfully proud. Talk about your horses that you rode. Did you stay on the same horses all six rounds? Just talk about managing them, and then maybe talk a little bit about those two products in particular and how they've affected what you've been able to do.
Yes, sir. I rode Oliver. He's 9 this year. I got him when he was 5, and just kind of, he's been my main go-to jackpot horse. He has pretty much the same trip every time, and he can really run and has good foot speed. So in those situations, they have to be able to run, but you also have to be able to maneuver them around when the arena's that big and going that fast. And he's really, really good at that. And Junior rode Lucky Bucky, which he's had for a couple years that he's rode, you know, at the longer score stuff, and then I think he ended up running a couple on him at the NFR, but he got him from Caesar. But touching on, you know, Equinity and Unbeatable, I think they both have really good core values, and the people that lead them are exceptional.
That's world champion and now BFI champion Caleb Driggers talking about, along with Junior Nagata, his longtime partner, winning the Feist on Saturday afternoon. $162,000 between them. Ketch Kelton is kind of an interesting story. You might know Ketch's dad, Chance Kelton. He's a National Finals Rodeo qualifier. Ketch Kelton has had a lot of luck, particularly in that arena, the Lazy E. 2 times he's been the champion of the Junior Ironman. Now he's 18 years old from Arizona. He won the Huey Junior Open roping during BFI week to kick off BFI week. And then he turned around and won 3rd during the big roping on Saturday. Ketch Kelton's won $150,000 this week at the Lazy E Arena. And he will be competing this weekend on Saturday at the single steer roping event that will wrap up BFI week. I had a chance to catch up with Ketch Kelton. Ketch, thanks for your time and welcome.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
I don't know if you have a favorite place, but you've won a lot of money at the Lazy E Arena in your career.
Yes, sir. It is one of my favorite places.
Let's talk about what you got done this year. You won the Huey Junior Open. You actually won 1st and 2nd. 1st with Denton Dunning, 2nd with Nikki Northcott. Placed 3rd at the Feist on Saturday. Take me through the Junior Roping with those two different partners. Tell me about how that thing went.
Oh, shoot. I guess couldn't win any better. Coming there, it's long score. I guess we drew really good. I knew if I just turned the cow for them, that they're probably going to catch 2 feet every time. So that was my plan, just get out of the barrier and catch them all.
And then you and Denton turned around and won 3rd at the Feist. let me ask you about Denton Dunning, your partner that you did so well with. You won first with him at the Junior Open, and you won third with him at the Feist.
Yes, sir.
Tell me about him.
Oh, he's I don't know. He's one of my best friends, you could say. We grew up together in Arizona, and we jackpot like every weekend together. So it helps a lot. We know exactly what each of us is going to do.
Is he you're 18. Is he 18 too?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. You won second at the Junior Open with Nicky Northcott, who is the son of the legendary Steve Northcott. Talk to me about him and roping with him behind you.
Oh, shoot. We actually went and hung out at his house before here and went to some more jackpots in Stephenville. And we rope quite often when I come to Texas. And I think just turned 17 maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And shoot, it's so awesome because you always know he's going to have a good horse. Steve will always have a good horse around there, and it helps.
Yeah. It's kind of fun to watch this next generation. Your dad, one of the best of his generation, obviously Nicky's dad, great. And it's nice to always have great horses. Talk to me. Did you ride the same horse throughout both of the Ropens?
Yes, sir. I rode the same yellow mare.
Tell me about her.
Actually, it's my sister's head horse that I kind of stole for this month. We raised it at the house. My dad trained it, and which is kind of cool, I think. And I don't know, she's just phenomenal.
I'm guessing your sister's figured out her horse is gone by now.
No, she actually is riding it today.
Oh, okay. She took it back. Is she breakaway roping there?
Yeah. Yes, sir. She's breakaway and the all-girl team roping.
Any luck?
They're still team roping right now, so I don't know. I don't think she's went yet.
God, that horse could be a big money winner if she has good luck the next couple of days.
Yeah, I think she won the all-girl last year on him here.
You just heard Ketch Kelton talking about a Palomino horse that belongs to his sister, Kenzie Kelton. Today was team roping for the Cowgirls Day at the BFI. I'm talking about Wednesday. And it ended just a couple of hours before we recorded this show. I checked the BFI Week Facebook page. Whitney DeSalvo and Kenzie Kelton have now won two all-girl roping titles at the BFI. Kenzie Kelton and Whitney DeSalvo reign supreme at the BFI Charlie One Horse All-Girl. These two cowgirls have wrapped up the titles from Wrangler BFI Week presented by Yeti. Here is Drew Stewart talking to Kenzie Kelton about old Yeller.
How about Yeller?
She's awesome.
How awesome? I mean, really, how awesome is she?
She's number one.
She is so cool. So we've had Ketch up here a bunch in the last month. And you guys raise that yellow horse?
Yes, sir.
And her mom?
And her mom, yep.
And just, your dad was just telling me here a second ago, no papers, just?
Nope.
She's awesome.
She was kind of an oopsie, I think.
Really?
She wasn't planned by any means.
Really? Just went out there one day and like, hey, I think we got one that's bred.
Yeah.
How old is she?
I think she's about 11 or 12. She's
perfect.
Yeah, that's she's perfect. Not old.
Really? How cool is that? How long have you been? Did you ride her at the high school finals and stuff?
I did.
That, okay. Yeah.
I've had her for a while.
Yeah.
I mean,
you'll find that complete interview on the BFI Week Facebook page, but Whitney DeSalvo and Kenzie Kelton, now back-to-back champions of the Charlie One Horse All-Girl Roping. That's quite a story of that Palomino horse that has now won $150,000 with Kenzie's brother, Ketch, and another big chunk today with Kenzie, and the horse isn't done yet. That might be the horse at this year's BFI Week at the Lazy Arena in Guthrie, Oklahoma. You're listening to the Steve Kenyon Podcast, and we're proud to be able to share the latest in the world of Western sports with all of you, and thank you for joining us. We hope you will like and subscribe to our show. Check out the Legends of the Hall podcast this week featuring Carl Mecklenburg. He will be speaking at the Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame on May the 16th. You can go to ProRodeoHallOfFame.com for all the details on all of that. Coming up, thanks to our friends at Classic Ropes and Classic Equine, we'll highlight the San Angelo Stock Show and Rodeo. That gets underway on Friday. We'll check in with the rodeo in Redmond, Oregon, the High Desert Stampede. It's underway through Saturday at the High Desert Stampede, one of the youngest and fastest growing rodeos in all of professional rodeo. We're sponsored by Next Gen Rodeo. Thanks to the Grandview at Las Vegas, the place we stay during the Wrangler NFR, and to Prefer, number one in ranch and rodeo.
Hey y'all, this is Cody Johnson. When I was starting out in music, most every radio station and venue I went to told me no. At that point, you got two options: tuck tail and quit, or buckle down and fight. Well, I'm a fighter, not a quitter. And that's why I wear Wrangler jeans and shirts. Their toughness and style are legendary. They're an iconic symbol of the West, and there's no quit in them either. Life's not about the destination, it's about the journey. And if I'm gonna enjoy the ride, I'm riding in Wrangler. Wrangler, long live cowboys.
New styles join our time-tested Justin Bent Rail collection, like the rugged men and women who wear them. These boots stand for quality, integrity, tradition, and hard work. Straight from our legendary El Paso factory, our expert bootmakers build these boots with features that would make even the earliest cowboys proud. Outfit yourself today with a Bent Rail collection by Justin.
World champion team ropers Caleb Driggers and Junior Negata, now the 2024 champions of the Bob Feist Invitational Team Roping. Driggers and Negata, both part of Team Equinity.
Do stuff, you know, there that you don't even have to do normally throughout the year. And just their recovery time and everything else that Equinity stands for, it helps us to know that we're giving our horse is the best chance to succeed.
Equinity. It's all about the horse. TeamEquinity.com. The countdown is on to true traditional cowboy jerky, M2 ranch jerky, beef, buffalo, elk, and venison, all mixed with unique gourmet flavors. Saddle Bronc rider Mitch Pollock says, if you're looking for a traditional, great-tasting jerky, M2 ranch jerky has you covered. Learn more about M2 Ranch Jerky and see what the cowboys say on the brand new website, m2-ranch.com. That's m2-ranch.com. Big rodeos this week around the country. Redmond, Oregon, the High Desert Stampede got underway Wednesday night with a PRCA Extreme Bull Riding event. Three full rodeo performances Thursday through Saturday, and the San Angelo Stock Show and Rodeo in San Angelo, Texas. In just a moment, on our Classic Equine Classic Ropes featured interview of the week, we will talk to Josh Hambone Hilton, who's the rodeo manager of the rodeo in San Angelo, Texas. Thank you to Classic Ropes. Success is in your hand. To Classic Equine, play to win. We are Classic Equine. Dennis Fast with the High Desert Stampede in Redmond, Oregon, talked to us about the 7-person board of directors that produces this 8-year-old rodeo that's one of the fastest and the fastest growing in the PRCA.
It is. In 2017, when we decided that we were going to do this, 7 of us got together and brainstormed, divided responsibilities, and took this on. And I just got a great board of directors. These 7 people each have a role in this, and they take care of their own role and do a really good job. It's just a great business group that is having fun really operating a business and moving on. We've got people that are just specialists in each area, and it's really made us grow.
I really think what you just said, it's like we're operating a business. Maybe that's the key to the success that you have had, because this has been an extremely, for one of the youngest rodeos in the PRCA, I know I keep emphasizing that, but it's been one of the most successful endeavors in professional rodeo. Maybe that's because of the way you guys approach it.
Well, I kind of think so. I mean, rodeo is the business of entertainment, and you do have to run it like a business. And a lot of the folks on our board do not have the traditional rodeo background. We've got businessmen that love the sport of rodeo and the Western way of life. And so it really works. We can think outside the box because we're new, because we can do things slightly different. And that I'm just impressed with our group and how everyone works. We just had our last meeting before the rodeo last night. And, you know, most of the boxes are checked. Everybody's got their job done. We're kind of just ready for the stock to arrive and people to arrive. And we're just ready to go.
Full rodeo performances Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at the Rodeo in Redmond. Rodeo in San Angelo, Texas, actually is underway. They've already had timed event slack. First full performance Friday night. The rodeo in San Angelo runs all the way through in one way, shape, or form with events through the 21st day of the month of April. Josh Hambone Hilton, the former music director of the year. He was actually the music director in San Angelo before he became the rodeo manager in San Angelo. He took a few minutes out of his time to talk to us about what to expect in 2024. Hambone, how the heck are you?
Well, we're running. We'll just say that, my friend. We're blowing and going. We had 240 some barrel racers yesterday in their progressive round, and we ran I think 75, two rounds of 74 in the team roping right now, and we're in the steer wrestling first round, another round tie down roping. So we're another day of slack tomorrow, so we're in it, man.
Yeah. Remind me how that barrel race works, because you actually run everybody in one arena and then move over to a different arena for the rodeo, right?
Yeah, that's the only event that's kind of a WPRA thing. It's a progressive. It's always been that way in the barrel racing. We take permits. We take all the girls. And so we had like 272 entries, 240, I think 9 or 8, something like that showed. And that's in the spur, and then we take the top 120 to the perfs, 10 perfs of 12 girls, and then top 12 of those that round go to the finals.
Yeah. I just brought up the website real quick. Wenda Johnson, I think, loves San Angelo. She was 1566, and she has always done well at your rodeo. And I don't know how up to date that is on prorodeo.com right now, but tell me about this rodeo this year. You always make changes. The prize money has been on an upward progression. Tell me what we're looking forward to as the first full performance on Friday gets ready to get underway.
Well, this is our first year. We've always done a big breakaway for the past, we've done 3 years. The last 2 years, really, it's been really big at the Roping Fiesta, pay out over $100,000 in the breakaway event. And this year we added it to the rodeo. And and we went a full $45,000 added to match all the other events. So I know we had 183 entries in the breakaway. We are maxed at 180, but we took the extra three girls. So, doing what we can for them and excited to have them here. Their slack is next week on April 9th, but they'll be in every performance. They won't be in the cinch shootout, but they'll be in all the PRCA performances. And just excited to have them. So I think that's a big new thing for this year, besides our very last day having Tejano Day for the first time ever, and having Mr. Jerry Diaz and his family coming to produce a great show on the last day. And with such a large Hispanic community here in San Angelo, we're really excited for that. So
I think you're going to find the turnout for that is going to be ginormous.
Yeah. We're looking forward to that day. Something different, something new for this crowd. And like me, you worked a lot of those events, and they're fun and colorful and beautiful. And it's just those are cool events. Mexican Rodeo is a lot of fun, a lot of tradition. There wouldn't be Cowboys without Charos. So
yeah,
at least we can do to honor that tradition.
Yeah, I just did an interview the other day with Tomas Garcilaso, and we talked about that exact same thing. All the skills that we see in the cowboy world today that came from the Charro lifestyle. So the folks in San Angelo are going to love that. The rodeo runs through the 19th, and then what, the Tejano Day's on the 20th, and then you wrap it up with the Cinch Shootout on the 21st? Is that the way it goes?
No, sir. We go to the Cinch Shootout is on Saturday the 20th.
Got it.
And then we will wrap it up with Tejano Day on the 21st.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
That's why I ask the questions and don't try to answer them, because people like Hambone know the deal. Tell me about the growth in San Angelo over the last few years, because the prize money has gone up. The contestant roster has gotten really big. You are a great way to wrap up this little run that we started calling the Texas Swing with everything that happens in San Angelo, Texas in April.
Yeah, it's been a really fun to be, it's been an honor, and it's been really fun to be a part of the growth here. You know, this will be my fourth rodeo in this position. I've been doing the music here for 15 years, and just to see, it's always been a great rodeo. That's the thing. It's always been a good rodeo, you know, the last 10 years especially. It's been a really good rodeo. But then to jump up and say, hey, we want to run with those big dogs. We've got great support of our board of directors, our executive board, and our executive director, Justin Jonas, you know, to have them put the trust in us to do that and give us that money to give the contestants, was a lot of fun and really jumped us up there. And between that, the Cinch Shootout and the Extreme Bowls, which are technically three separate events, but with all three of those together, you know, we're over 800,000 in total payout.
Wow.
So, that puts us up there with some pretty big dogs, you know, and it's an honor because we're a small community, you know, compared to Fort Worth, San Antonio, and Houston, where with millions of people, in those communities, you know, we're a town of 110,000. And, a really cool fact is, we sold out all of our performances in a matter of a couple hours, except Teano Day. We have some tickets left for that, but we sold out in a matter of a couple hours at 10 a.m. when our tickets went on sale on March 11th. We had 88,000 people on our website trying to buy tickets, and by 10:30 we had already processed 5,000 orders. So this town, I laugh because it's the most loved and most loathed in this town, because you get the people that don't like all the traffic, you know, they're the people that don't come anyway. So it doesn't really matter, but, you know, but then, you know, 95% of the community, this community just loves it. And, you know, between this and the stock show in February, you know, we bring in $78 million into a community of 100,000. So the Chamber of Commerce did that survey a couple of years ago. So it's pretty awesome, and it's exciting to be a part of it.
San Angelo is about twice the size of Cheyenne, maybe a little less than that, quite a bit bigger than Pendleton. But towns, smaller communities, small and mid-sized communities that host rodeos, especially the size of Cheyenne or Pendleton or the San Angelo Stock Show and Rodeo, it's kind of hard for the people who live there to escape the rodeo. Some way or another, it seems like these events touch it. Even if all they do is leave town and rent their house out to somebody for the weekend. It's kind of hard for people in town to, you bring a lot to the community and you touch everybody one way or the other.
Yeah. You know, and coming from a Hall of Fame rodeo town, Sidney, Iowa, you know, it always irked me when I was, you know, people would be, oh, I'm getting out of here. The rodeo's in town, you know, and this is a town of 1,000 people in Southwest Iowa. And it's like, if the rodeo wasn't here, the town would be, you know, one of these ghost towns that you find all the way through Iowa, you know, yeah. And, you know, would Pendleton be Pendleton without that grand tradition?
Nope.
or Cheyenne or the St. Paul, a town of 800 people that put on, you know, one of the biggest rodeos over the fourth. And, it's just amazing what rodeo can do for a whole community. And I mean, it's livelihood, it's its heartbeat in those towns, and a dang sure is here in San Angelo.
But I got to ask you a personal question, and I promise you I'd keep this short because I know you're busy, but not a personal question, but a professional personal question. How's that? There aren't a lot of guys that go from being the music director at a rodeo to being the rodeo manager the way you did. You kind of had a little bit of a unique path to this job, didn't you?
Yeah, you know, Justin Jonas, my boss, the executive director here, we talked, it was 2020, you know, and it was in March and I'm in Houston, and after eight performances, you know, the world has ended, and I went home and was daddy daycare for two straight months because Whit was still working from home, but I was taking care of Gus, and And I called Justin and said, hey, I know that job is, you know, I'm kind of visited with him. Could I still stay here in Weatherford? And he's no, because I'm part sponsorship's a big part of my job.
Yeah.
Probably the biggest part, actually. And so needed somebody here in the community to get that feel and get known by the people. He said, you got 2 days to turn in a resume. And so I did. And of course, knew most everybody anyways, because of, you know, being here for so long on the music side. And I had still another 5 years left on my contract here doing the music. And I didn't want to give that up either. So it's a dang sure a challenge.
Yeah.
To do both the music and that, you know, when you're getting texts that, you know, duplicate tickets have been printed, or the ladies' bathroom's backed up, or any of the random things that come at you. But we have a good staff here, good support team, and one of the best committees. I'm so blessed to have this committee here. They've all been here for a long time. They know their job. They take it very seriously. And as like I've said before, I think they're the best non-paid rodeo staff you could have at a rodeo. We put on a really tight, really big production here. You know, lots of pyro, lasers, lights, a lot of energy in this building, seats 5,000 people. But, you know, when it's rocking and rolling, it sounds like the Thomas and Mack in the 10th round on a, you know, 95 point bull ride. So it's you're right. It's been a strange journey, but I'm so blessed to call this community home, and it's been great to me and my family, and looking forward to the future here.
Home to two big events. San Angelo is, Josh, I have never been there. I've got to get to San Angelo someday.
Oh, but, couple hours away. Come on down, Steve.
Yeah.
Come.
It is home to the Cinch Roping Fiesta in October every year, and to a great rodeo. It is a great roping town. This is good rodeo country, isn't it?
It really is. You know, don't know, you know, you go to the bigger markets and they don't know who the contestants are for the most part. The majority don't. And, you know, and they do here in San Angelo. That's what kind of makes us unique here, is that it is a rodeo town. And, a kind of a side note here on the Roping Fiesta, the Cinch Roping Fiesta. I talked to Caleb Schmidt down there in Houston, you know, and he's kind of pretty much retired, was going to go there and that's about it. But he won our match roping last year. So he gets first right of refusal to come back. And he said that he will come back to that roping as long as he can.
Wow.
Keeps winning.
Well,
so he's going to go. I don't know he's going to match yet, but it'd be really neat to get the all time great back in at the Roping Fiesta. So, it dang sure that event has grown. That's like, I'm really proud of that, because that event was really big back in the 90s and early 2000s, and it took tapered off quite a bit, and so I took that as a challenge to bring that back, and it's been, crowds have been just awesome the last few years, and we've added some things and just really make it a fun weekend. So, but couldn't do it in another community besides San Angelo.
Yeah, I agree. I'll let you get back to work. I appreciate your time. Hambone Hilton, the rodeo manager of the San Angelo Stock Show and Rodeo. Have a great 3 weeks.
Hey, bud. Appreciate all you do, Steve.
That's Josh Hambone Hilton, the rodeo manager at the San Angelo Stock Show and Rodeo in San Angelo, Texas. Thank you to Classic Ropes and Classic Equine. Classic Equine, play to win. We are Classic Equine, Classic Ropes. Success is in your hand. The Steve Kenyon Podcast is sponsored each week by Wrangler, by the Justin Boot Company, by Resist All Hats, by Equinity, It's All About the Horse, by Prefer, by Unbeatable Feeds, by M2 Ranch Jerky, by the Grandview at Las Vegas, by Next Gen Rodeo, and by the Gooding Pro Rodeo, August 14th through 17th, Gooding, Idaho. The Gooding County Fair is getting ready to celebrate its 99th year in 2024. God bless everybody. Thanks for listening. Please like and subscribe to all of our programming. And we will see you again next week on the Steve Kenyon Podcast. I'm Steve Kenyon.